This is Father's Day, and this will probably speak to a lot of men, but I think it's going to speak to all of us here this morning. If you've got a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you can, or you can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app, and we're going to be right there. And we're just going to dive in. You guys ready to get in the Word this morning?
Yes.
You guys ready to get in the Word this morning?
Yeah.
Let's dig in. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. It says this. Says simply this, therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, everybody say boast. If you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for all of our dads, all of our fathers, God, whether they be physical, through family and blood ties, Lord God, or even those fathers that we, men that we might call fathers who are mentors and spiritual fathers to us, Lord God, those people you've placed in our lives. God, to speak over us and speak into us and to help push us. God, we just honor all of them today, God. And Lord, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to bless this word. Let us have an encounter with you in your presence today, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen,
amen and amen. Now, everybody, whether you can participate in this, in fact, I want everybody to participate in this, whether you got your guns out, whether you're rocking the no sleeves today or not. Everybody real quick, flex your muscles. Everybody real quick, flex for me. Everybody, 100%. Let me see you flex. Let me see you flex all the way. Let me see everybody here on this side. I see like two people. Everybody on this side of the room, everybody in this section. Let me see you flex. There we go. We're flexing. Todd, I see you back there. Flex, bro. There we go. All right, everybody. All right, now here's the amazing thing. Okay, you can stop. He's got to start to get sweaty, just like me. Okay. This is the amazing thing. Like 99% of the time, when somebody says, show me your muscle or flex, without me even telling you to, without me even doing it, about everybody in this room went like this, right? Flex. Let me see your muscles, right? We go like this. We talk about suns out, guns out. We talk about flexing. This is what we usually do. Now, the funny thing and the kind of peculiar thing about that, I'm not exactly sure how this became the pros for showing off muscles, but the reality is this. The bicep muscle, which is what everybody thinks about when you say, show me your muscle, the biceps in your body is literally almost the most useless muscle in your body. It only has a couple of functions. Basically, it's just there to help you bend your elbow to feed your face. That's really about all that it does. As far as athletic performance or any real strength, the biceps plays a very, very small role. It's one of the smallest muscles in your body, and it really doesn't have any function with the exception of going like this and flexing and making muscles. However, isn't it funny that a muscle that really has no, I mean, if you look at football players, basketball players, pro athletes, Olympic weightlifters, Olympic athletes, none of those guys have muscles and they're jacked, but a lot of them don't have giant, big biceps, which is what we think of when we think of somebody with big muscles. Isn't that right? Isn't that amazing? And so, I don't know why, I don't know how, I don't know where this became like the standard for showing off your muscles, but basically, it's just kind of for the most part, a show muscle, right? Show me your muscles, we show your biceps, and it's the smallest thing. And I wonder sometimes in my life if I am not guilty of flexing some stuff. Basically, what do you mean by that? I wonder if sometimes I'm not guilty of showing off some stuff and trying to think some things and make it look like things that are really important that really aren't that important. Amen? Flexing. Everybody heard that term flexing? Like, oh man, he's flexing on him. What's that mean? It means he's getting big. It means he's kind of showing off, trying to show how strong somebody is, trying to show how cool they are, whatever. He's flexing. I wonder sometimes in our lives if we're not flexing the wrong muscles. Amen? I wonder sometimes in our spiritual lives, in our walks with God, if we're not flexing sometimes the wrong thing. And what Paul says here, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:31, what the scripture I just read, he says, listen, notice this. Paul doesn't say don't boast, does he? He said, if you're going to boast, my translation, if you're going to flex, okay, if you're going to boast about something, boast only in the Lord. If you're going to flex, flex in the Lord. If you're going to show off some muscle, if you're going to get strong in the Lord. Amen, somebody? And so what Paul says here, and just the quick thought I want to share with us on this Father's Day is, guys, let's check ourselves for a second and make sure that in my life, I'm not flexing a muscle that really doesn't have any purpose or doesn't have any real carryover to anything else in my life. Amen? Amen? Listen. If you wanted to get strong, if you're like, man, I want to get stronger. I want to be able to lift more weight. I want to be able to do more. I want to be able to carry more bags of groceries. I want to be able to carry all the groceries in one trip. I don't want to take 14 trips to the car. Whatever kind of task you want to get stronger for, right? Guess what? You know what? There would be no reason for you to go in the gym and do a bunch of curls. Your biceps might get big and you might look sweet, but that wouldn't really carry over and be very functional. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of other muscles you can work. Your back, your shoulders, your traps, your grip strength. Those are all much more important muscles that actually do something. And so what I'm saying is this. Let's make sure we're not spending time trying to get strong in an area that really doesn't matter. Paul says, if you're going to boast, if you're going to be strong, if you're going to flex, let's make sure that we do it in the Lord. Amen? Everybody say, boast in the Lord. Now we're going to flip over to Nehemiah here for a few minutes today. Because Nehemiah, I think in one little scripture, Nehemiah gives us some really great ideas of how we can flex and what it means to boast in the Lord or what it looks like in our life to be strong in the Lord and to make sure our flexing is in the right place and is placed in God and not in ourselves. And just a little background on Nehemiah, okay? Because Nehemiah is a very, very interesting book in the history of the Old Testament and the history of the Israelite nation, because Nehemiah is really just a regular dude, okay? He's not a priest. He's not a prophet. He's not a preacher. He's not from the line of Moses. He's just a regular guy that found himself with a call of God on his life. Now, I could go on and preach just about right there, because let me tell you something. You might feel like you're just a normal person with just average abilities at best and not really feeling like God can. Listen, God can use. In fact, I believe God is looking for everyday normal people to answer his call and answer his purpose and plan in their life to step up and do something great for the kingdom of God. Amen? So in Nehemiah's lifetime, what happens with Nehemiah is the Israelites are completely destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. The temple in Jerusalem is destroyed. The walls around the city of Jerusalem are destroyed. And the people of Israel are forcibly taken away from their homeland and sent and dispersed to other places in the Babylonian Empire to serve. And some of the best minds, the best people, the best servants, the people that were of noble nobility and noble rank and the best businessmen and whatever, the empire, the Babylonian Empire, would take them to the capital of Babylon, and they would serve there, serving the king and help build up the empire there. Nehemiah was one of those guys. Nehemiah was someone that God had pointed out, and he actually became the cupbearer to the king. That means it was his job to bring wine to the king of Babylon. The importance of that job is this. He had to taste it and they wanted one person touching the wine so that they knew if it was poison who they could blame. Okay, you understand? And so that was his job. He was to make sure that nobody was able to get to the king of Babylon, to the emperor, by poisoning his wine. He was the cupbearer, okay? But he's from Jerusalem. Now, about 17 years before this story takes place in the Old Testament of Nehemiah, the Lord had raised up a priest by the name of Ezra and gave Ezra favor. And the Bible says that God led Ezra to talk to the king, and the king allowed Ezra, along with a certain number of Jewish people and Israelites, to go back to Jerusalem, and they rebuilt the temple. Okay? And the reason for that was the king of Babylon realized that God's blessing was on these people, and he wanted them to pray to God in their temple on his behalf to bless his endeavors and bless his work. And so he allowed that to happen. So the temple is rebuilt, and then several years goes by, and people are living in Jerusalem. They're rebuilding their lives. They're basically trying to pick up and put back together what had been destroyed. And the Bible says that Nehemiah hears that even though the temple was rebuilt, however, the walls of Jerusalem had still been destroyed, and nobody had rebuilt the walls, and the city was still left unprotected. And the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1 that this began to so weigh on Nehemiah that he prayed day and night. The Bible says he fasted, he prayed, he sought God. And the Bible says that this was so on him that one day he shows up in front of the king, and the king says, Nehemiah, dude, what's wrong with you? And that was Nehemiah's opportunity and door to share his vision for what God had placed in his heart. And he told him, man, I've heard about the plight of my city. Jerusalem's walls are still destroyed. And man, this is no good. This cannot be. How many understand that in our lives, we need walls and boundaries set up around the walls of our hearts and around what God is doing to protect what God is building in our lives? Amen. God had rebuilt the temple, but it was still left exposed. It was still left unprotected. It was still left unguarded. Amen? And listen, don't think that, hey, just because, hey, I've come to church and I've given my life to God and I read my Bible once in a while and man, I sense God doing something in my life. Listen, that's great. That's awesome. And so when God is doing something in my heart, when God is doing something in my life, that should be important enough to me to want to build a wall around it and protect it and keep anything out from that would try to destroy what God's building on the inside of me and my home and my family. Amen, somebody? Amen. And so Nehemiah says, I want to go and rebuild the walls. Miraculously, of course, this is all orchestrated by God, okay? But miraculously, the king says, Nehemiah, I'm gonna not only allow you to go and do that, but the Bible says, I'm going to pay for the job to be done. I want you to go and build the wall around the temple. I want you to make sure that place is protected because I want you guys praying on my behalf. So he sends Nehemiah. Nehemiah begins the work. So Nehemiah, this whole journey takes place. A whole group of people take off with Nehemiah. They begin to rebuild the wall. And as they begin to rebuild the wall, people who are now who were happy that Jerusalem had fallen, they begin to get upset about what's happening. And all of a sudden, in Nehemiah chapter 4, a bunch of enemies show up, and they begin to threaten the people working on the wall, okay? Because here's what you got to understand. For years and years and years, for decades and generations, Jerusalem was the center of Israelite activity, and this was a place that was blessed by God, and the people around the nation, the surrounding neighboring nations, they were all thrilled when Jerusalem fell because it opened the door for them to now take over and prosper. Okay, so when they saw Jerusalem being rebuilt, all of a sudden enemies came back and they began to say, listen, if you keep on working, if you keep on building this wall, we are going to come against you. We are going to take you out. We are going to gather all the nations around you, and we are going to destroy the work that you're doing. Has anyone ever noticed in your life that the moment, listen, no one will mess with you. No one will talk about you. You can live a life just kind of comfortably as long as you don't begin to really pursue God. I've had this conversation with people. They're like, man, Pastor, I started serving the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord. I started coming to church. I started living my life the way I know God wanted me to. And all of a sudden, all these crazy things started happening in my life. All of a sudden, I'm getting sick. And all of a sudden, I'm fighting with my wife and husband were fighting. And all of a sudden, all these crazy things are happening. My boss is threatening to fire me. And why is this happening now that I'm doing everything? You know why? Because listen, every time you take a step closer to your promise, the enemy will usually show up. As long as I'm sitting comfortably, not fulfilling my purpose, not doing what God's called me to do, not pursuing the things of God in my life, not doing anything to make a difference for the kingdom of God here on earth, listen, I promise you, you won't have any enemies. The enemy will leave you alone. Because he's got you right where you need to be and right where he wants you to be, which is this: saved and satisfied that you are on your way to heaven, but doing next to nothing to affect anyone else's destiny in eternity. But the moment you step out and serve, the moment you begin to invite your neighbor, the moment you begin to pray for someone else to get saved, the moment you begin to really pursue God and become hungry for the things of the Spirit, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, why did all this happen? You know why? Here's why. Because enemies typically show up when you begin to make progress towards your promise. Listen, don't think that the appearance of an enemy means that you somehow misstepped and got out of the will of God. Friend, the appearance of an enemy threatening you, he probably tells you that you just took a step in the right direction. Amen, somebody? So this is what happens to Nehemiah. They begin to build the wall. He does exactly what God's called him to do. And all of a sudden, out of the woodwork, enemies that have been silent, haters that had not reared their ugly heads in years, show up and begin to threaten the work that God had called Nehemiah to do. And not just threatening we're not talking about just running. They're talking about threatening to come and literally wage war and kill them. And the Bible says that the people that were working on the wall, the people living in Jerusalem and in the city at the time, began to get fearful, began to wonder how they were going to make it and what they were going to do, because they knew they were vastly outnumbered. The Bible says Nehemiah stands up before him. And this is what he says, and this is where we're going to gain some insight on how to flex the right way and what to flex. Listen, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, 'Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.'" Don't be afraid of the enemy. Instead, remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your sons, your daughters, your families, and your homes. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. So the first thing he tells us to do is this. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" He doesn't say, listen, you're not going to find the word flex, I don't think, anywhere in the Bible. That's my thing I'm putting in there. But the first thing he tells us to do when the enemy shows up, he says, first of all, don't run, stand your ground and fight. And as we fight for our ground, we're going to flex. And here's what we're going to flex. He says this. He said, "Here's what should I flex? Boast only in the Lord." Here's what we're to flex. Flex the greatness of God instead of fear. Amen. When the enemy comes against you, that's not the time to let fear flex you or to flex how afraid you are of them. That's the time instead to look to heaven and flex how big God is. Boast in the Lord and remember how great, how awesome, how big our God is. Listen to me now. Faith flexes how big God is. Fear flexes how small I am. When I'm allowing fear to be what I show up in my life, when I'm allowing fear to cause me to be complacent, when I'm allowing fear to cause me to not move forward and not progress and not take the steps that I know God wants me to take, guess what I'm doing? I'm essentially flexing how small and inadequate I am. Faith does just the opposite. Faith, in fact, gets the focus off of me and turns it to God and says, "You know what? I'm small, I'm weak, I'm inadequate, but my God is big. My God is awesome. My God is huge. My God is great. In fact, my God is bigger than the enemy that's coming against me." And Nehemiah says, "Hey, don't be afraid. Don't flex fear. Flex how great God is." Amen? Listen, if you've got enemies coming against you, if you feel like you've got wagons circling you and you got junk breaking out on you on every side, that is not the time to stay home. That is not the time to put your Bible away. That is not the time to be fearful. That is the time to remember how great God is. That is the time to dig into the Word and see, let the Word of God speak to you and show you how great God is. That is the time to get together with your brothers and sisters in Christ in church and in worship and in community and worship and sing even more about how great God is, because it will remind you who it is that called you, who it is that's anointed you, who it is that you're living for, and who it is that's got your back. And the God who's got your back is bigger than any enemy coming against you. Amen? So he says, flex about how great God is. Listen, and because he is so big, because God is so great, because Jesus has accomplished and done so much. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else, hear this morning. Don't you ever, ever be ashamed to go after God in a big way. Don't you ever be ashamed to worship big and serve big and give big and go big and believe for big things from the great God that we serve. In fact, that's something we need to remember and flex on more and more and more and more. He is amazing and awesome and huge and bigger than anything we can imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul says that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even think. God is willing to do more than I can even imagine. So don't be afraid, friend, to believe him to do something big. Don't be afraid to go after him in a big way. Don't be afraid to serve in a big way. Amen? Because he's a big God. Remember that. Remember how big he is. Now, some of you might be saying, well, I'm not really afraid of anything. I'm okay losing. I'm okay with defeat. I'm okay. I understand things don't go my way all the time. I'm not afraid of those things. Listen to me. Can I tell you something, though? Sometimes it's not fear of an enemy that gets us. Sometimes it's fear of our own inadequacies and our own weaknesses that causes us to be complacent. Amen? And let me tell you something. Honestly, I don't have any hard data on this, but I bet if you were to scratch the surface, if you were to peel back the layers on about 90% of stuff that I do, if I was to dig in on the bad decisions I've made, if I was to dig in on times of my life where I'm just complacent and not being passionate about the things of God and not really pursuing God like I should, guess what? If I was to strip all the junk away and all the reasons away, at the end of that stripping away would probably be some form of fear. Either fear that it won't work, either fear that I'll look stupid, or sometimes, I believe this, complacency, just sitting back, coasting, hey, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm not doing anything else, I'm good, and I'm just going to just coast there until one day I go to heaven. Guess what? That complacency, I believe a lot of times is a mask of fear. And so, I don't like the feeling of fear, so what I do is I wrap that fear in a mask of complacency, and what that complacency looks like is this. Most of the time it looks like I'm too cool to care. Oh, I don't care. Oh, who cares? I don't care. It doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. Oh, no, nothing. I don't care. No. Listen, that is such hogwash sometimes, man. Amen? That's a way that I can cope with fear. And a lot of times the fear that I wrap complacency around, guess what? A lot of times that's the fear. It's a fear of me not being good enough. It's a fear of me. It's not that I'm afraid of the enemy. I believe and trust God. But my real fear is that I'm not good enough for God to bless. I'm not good enough for God to move through. I'm not good enough for God to meet my needs. I'm not good enough for God to take care of me like I've seen him do for other people. I'm not adequate enough. I'm so weak. I'm so broken. I'm so sinful. I've got all these things. And so I feel that. So what I do is I wrap a bunch of I don't care and I'm too cool and I'm just going to sit here and do nothing around it. And at the end of all that is somewhere this fear that at the end of the day, I'm not going to measure up. That when God needs to move mightily in my life, it's not going to be because he can't defeat the enemy. It's going to be because he's somehow unpleased with me and I'm somehow unworthy and not good enough for him to bless me and move in my life like I've heard him do with other people. And if that's the fear that may be holding some of us back, if that's the fear that's stopping us from flexing in the Lord and boasting about God and serving him the big way that God's called us to, then listen, here's what I want to remind you of. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 reads like this. Paul said this. I'm going to start in verse 8. He says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And in verse 9, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now, listen to what Paul says. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So if you, in his first book to the Corinthians, he says, if you're going to boast, boast on the Lord. But then a few years later, Paul writes again, and he says, you know what? I've discovered something else I can flex on. I've discovered something else I can boast in. I've discovered something else, and it's wrapped up in God. But I can also, he says, because of God's grace, listen now, he says, because of God's grace, I do not have to be afraid of my weakness. Because the grace of God, he discovered the grace of God, the power of God, actually is designed and works best through weakness. So Paul said, I can actually boast in my weaknesses because when I am honest, when I am open, when I am real, when I am okay with my weakness and give that to God, his grace makes up the difference and his strength works through that weakness. Amen. Grace means I don't have to be afraid of my weaknesses. And so if my fear is somehow wrapped up in the idea that I am really not good enough, I am really not okay enough, I am really not spiritual enough, I've got all these issues I'm working on, I've got really good news to set you free today. If that's how you feel about yourself, let me tell you something. You are absolutely correct. You are not good enough. You are not holy enough. You are not righteous enough. You have not made enough good decisions. You have done a bunch of stupid things in your past, and you do not deserve for God to move in your life, but grace says he will do it anyway.
Hallelujah.
But I've got to be open. I've got to be willing to let that weakness get unwrapped. And I've got to be willing to let that weakness, that fear of that inadequacy, that fear of that weakness, that fear of my inability, I got to be willing to unwrap that and bring that to God and say, God, I am weak. God, I am not good enough. God, I am inadequate. God, I am undeserving. That's what Paul says, I will boast even more, because when I boast in the weakness, God's strength shows up and his grace shows up. Grace means I don't have to be afraid of my weakness. And when I allow myself to be open and honest and flex my weakness, guess what happens? I end up flexing his grace. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to flex grace in my life. I want God's grace to show up in my life. I don't know about you. Amen? So I want to flex how big God is, not how small I am. I want to flex how great God is and get my mind off of and not worry about my weaknesses. But when I do discover those weaknesses, when those weaknesses come out, guess what? I can even flex those too, because his strength is going to show up there as well, because my boasting, my flexing is in the Lord. Amen? And then Nehemiah says this, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. He says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. And then he says, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Nehemiah reminds them that they are not just flexing. They are not just fighting. They are not just showing the greatness of God just for their own sake and their own benefit, but that they are fighting, they are flexing, they are remembering how great God is. They are showing, they are believing God for great things, not just for their own glory, not just for their own benefit, but for the benefit of their families, their homes, their sons, their daughters, their wives, their children, and on down the generations that it goes. And church, let me tell you something. If we're going to flex big for God, if we're going to serve God in a big way, if we are going to fulfill a big purpose and a big thing for God, guess what? We have got to recognize and we have got to be okay with the fact and understand that the cause that we are flexing for, the cause that we are fighting for, is beyond ourselves, beyond our own benefit, and beyond our own glory. We have got to be doing that all for the glory of God and the people around us that we know God wants to meet. Amen, somebody? And so the question I want to leave us with here this morning is this. Who are you flexing for in your life? And I don't mean you're walking around with your cutoff shirts all the time, flexing your muscles all the time. I mean, maybe you are. That's cool. I do. But who or what is the reason behind you're doing whatever you do? Listen, we all have different things that we think might be cool. Some people think, man, I think these are stinking awesome. Somebody else might walk in and go, that's no big deal. I don't care about that at all. That's fine. It's not your rodeo, not your thing. Okay? Somebody might come in and go, man, that motorcycle's sweet, man. That's awesome. Look at the way. I don't know anything about a motorcycle. So if I even try to start talking about something on it, I'm going to sound ridiculous. Look at the way those tubey things come out there. That's pretty good. Or whatever. I don't know anything about it. Okay, sorry. I'll tell you a story about the one and only time I rode a motorcycle some other time. somebody else might go, man, look at the voltometer on the doodad there, or whatever. I don't know. That's not. You're not into that, so you're not flexing that. Somebody might be. My question is this, and there's nothing wrong with this stuff. This stuff is all stuff that God's given us and given us the ability to enjoy. The question is this though, is there any part of what I'm into, any part of what I'm flexing, is there any part of that that is I'm turning around and giving that back for the glory of God? Or is it all just for me? You understand what I'm saying? I guess the question I'm really getting to is are you flexing for your glory or God's? Is what I'm into, is what I'm about, is what I'm boasting in, is what I'm thinking is cool, is what I'm thinking is any part of that for God's glory? Or is it all just for mine? And part of what Nehemiah said this, when he's telling them to flex and to fight the enemy, he's saying, listen, and this is the biggest thing I think we understand. When I realize, if there's an enemy coming against me, if it's just about me and just about my pride and just about my benefit, I may or may not decide that that's something worth fighting for. You understand what I'm saying? But you come against my kids, you start making decisions that's affecting my family, now we are going to fight. Now I do have something to fight for beyond just myself. And Nehemiah's reminding me of that. And he's saying, guys, the reason we're building this wall, it's not just for our own benefit. It's not just for our own glory. It's not just for us to look around and pat each other on the back and say, man, what a great job we did. No, it is about generations of people beyond us and outside of us and that will come after us, that we are setting this up for them. We cannot allow this enemy to stop us from doing what we know we need to do to protect generations coming after us and the people around us. We have a greater cause than just ourselves. Amen? And listen, if I'm going to flex, I want it to be because we are reaching people for the glory of God. We have got, listen, at Red Life Church and as a follower of Jesus Christ, you and I, we have a great and undeniable and unbelievable cause. And it's simple. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptizing them. Let me just take all the churchy words and King James words that you know about that verse away. What is all that saying? Jesus is saying, you've met me, now go find other people and introduce them to me too. That is our cause. That is our great cause. Apart and outside of anything else, that should be the cause that drives, listen, whatever I'm into. If I'm into archery and shooting deer, I love putting the meat in the freezer, but man, how can I use that for the glory of God? Can you say, I don't know. How can I do that? You know, I don't know. You got some hunting buddies that you hunt with? You talking about hunting with? Look for opportunities to invite them to church with you. Use right where, you understand what I'm saying? Flex for the glory. Whatever it is, let's do it for God's glory. Will you stand all over this place this morning? Is my flexing for God's glory or my own? I'm going to ask you that question, then I'm going to ask you also just to think about this. Have we been flexing the wrong thing? Have we been putting a lot of attention maybe? Have you been guilty? I know I certainly have in my life. Have I been guilty of pouring a lot of energy and a lot of resources into showing off something that really doesn't even matter? In the great, I know in the moment it's like, oh, it's the most, but in the scope of our call, of the believer's call and of our call as a church and as a follower of Jesus to reach people for the kingdom of God and to advance the kingdom here on this earth. If that's my cause, then I've got to pour the proper amount of resources into that cause. Amen? So if that's my cause, then have I been flexing the wrong thing? Have I been pouring resources and boasting and getting excited and getting into some stuff that maybe that's not part of it? Listen, right now today, we have an opportunity. You have a chance. Let's just say this. Let's decide this today together. We're going to flex for the glory of God. Whatever I flex, whatever I'm into, whatever I boast in, I'm going to figure out a way to attach a redemptive, kingdom-advancing purpose to it, and we are going to do it for the glory of God. Amen? I'm not going to let fear in any shade or any shape or form that it may show up or manifest in my life. I'm not going to let fear keep me complacent. I'm not going to let fear keep me out of what God's called me to do. No, instead of flexing fear, I'm going to flex the greatness of God. Anybody want to flex the greatness of God in their life? Amen. We're going to pray together. The worship team is going to lead us in a final song. These altars are open. If you need some time to pray today, you're welcome to come forward and pray. There will be some altar workers in prayer. Our elders will be here to pray with you if you need prayer this morning. But let's just make the determination in our spirits and in our souls that we are going to flex big for the glory of God. We're not going to be afraid of everything that that means. The first step to that might be an introduction to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus, you can know him right now before you leave this room. You say, well, maybe you say, well, I went to church before and, you know, I got baptized even a long time ago and I used to really be on fire for God. I used to serve God. That used to be about my life, but I've started flexing some other stuff, if I want to say it that way, or I've been into some, that's been kind of on the back burner. Jesus has kind of been an afterthought in my life. Guess what? Today, right now, this moment, friend, you can make Jesus the number one priority in your life again. Maybe for the second time, maybe for the first time. And if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you. In fact, I'm going to invite you in just about 90 seconds. I'm going to ask everyone in this room in just a second to close their eyes and bow their heads. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you're in this room and you say, man, I want to meet Jesus today. And I believe that when you make that step of raising your hand and saying, yes, I want to meet Jesus, I believe all of heaven is going to invade your life and you are going to meet Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in a real and powerful way. And you might be thinking, man, I don't know what any of that means or what you just said, but your heart is beating and your stomach is churning. Guess what, friend? That is the Holy Spirit talking to you personally, saying to you, listen, you don't have to understand all of the words and all of the theological talk to accept what God is doing in your heart. And right now in this moment, what you need to know is Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, God became man. That man was Jesus. Jesus lived for 33 years as a man on the earth. Yet the difference between him and us was that Jesus never lied, never sinned, never did anything to break the law and the commandments of God that God has commanded each and every one of us to keep. He kept the law and kept the commandments that none of us throughout history have ever been able to keep. And then not only did he keep the commands that you and I can never keep, he then also took upon himself the punishment for breaking the commands that you and I have all broken. And the Bible says that Jesus did that in my place. He did that. He took upon himself the penalty that I deserve so that you and I don't have to receive it. And all that we have to do to know Jesus and to accept is to accept what he has already accomplished for you 2,000 years ago. Well, I've done a lot of bad things and I've made a lot of mistakes and I've done a lot of stupid decisions and I've got a lot of sin in my life and I just don't know if that's for me. Friend, let me tell you something. It's for you. And God is not mad at you. He does not hate you. He is not upset with you. He loves you. And in fact, he loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to do everything he did for you. And then he loves you so much again that he brought you to a moment like this, to have this opportunity to accept everything Jesus has already done. With every head bowed, every eye closed. You're in this place and you say, man, I want to meet Jesus today. I want to know him as my Savior today. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in a really long time. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm just going to ask you right now to raise your hand if that's where you're saying yes. Say yes, I want to know Jesus today. Yes, I want to know Jesus today. I want to begin a walk with Jesus today. Amen. I don't see any hands up. So I'm going to assume from here on that we are all on our way to heaven. We all know Jesus. So that's the case. Here's the two things I'm going to ask us to do. Number one, next week, Summer Sunday Fun Day. This is all about bringing people who don't go to church to a moment with God. So since we are all in here, and I don't see anybody else, apparently we're all saved. That's right. Guess what? We have work to do this week, friend. There are invites on the back tables as you leave. We spent some time praying about it a couple of weeks ago together. It's the week. It's that time. That person you said you were going to invite, make the phone call, shoot the text, grab the card, put it in their window, put it in their hand. Let's get people into the park next Sunday who don't know Jesus, and let's believe God for a great big harvest of souls next Sunday. Amen? Let's determine right now. All of our boasting, all of our flexing, all that we do, it's going to be for the glory of God. We're going to do that for His cause and not our own. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, I pray that You would make that the number one priority of our hearts and of our lives. Lord, all of our boasting, everything we do, anything, God, anything in my life, God, that I am just doing for me and has no glory You attached to it, Father, I pray, Lord, that You would redeem that. And God, let all of our flexing be for Your glory. God, any area of my life where fear is what I'm manifesting, God, in Jesus' name, help me to remember how big, how great, how awesome You are, and help me to flex how great You are instead of how small I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Let's worship for just a second, guys.